Good evening, church. I hope that you've had a wonderful day. Hope that you had a time perhaps to rest and certainly to enjoy family and celebrate fathers a little bit. And now we have this time to be together as God's people to sing praises to Him. Appreciate Brother Chris leading us in these songs of praise. It's always a joy to sing to God with you and to worship His holy name. Hope that you got one of the interactive outlines on the way in as we look at this lesson together tonight. For the local congregation here, you know that we have an annual theme, disciple-making disciples. And so periodically, we are bringing lessons that encourage us to be about the Great Commission. And certainly, this is one of those. I want this study tonight to challenge some of us, maybe some of our perspectives about this work of spreading the good news, to encourage, to motivate good attitudes, positive attitudes about sharing the gospel with another. So with that in mind, I have a spiritual question for you tonight. I want to ask, will many be saved? Hey, disciple-making disciples, how are we going to do with this? And will many be saved? Well, that sounds like an easy one, right? That's a yes or no answer there, right? I bet a lot of us have heard a sermon on Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It's probably a few of us in the room who even preached one. And what Jesus said was, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And if you've heard that sermon or preached that sermon, you've probably emphasized the broad way where many go, that's the way to destruction. The narrow way, the difficult way, few go in thereby, few will be saved. You want to be one of the few. That's what we want. And yet I'd suggest to you that if our attitude is only and always few will be saved, it can lead us into some unhelpful and unedifying attitudes. Will many be saved? You know, if our perspective is few will be saved, only few will be saved, we might become discouraged. We might think, well, not me then. I'm not going to make it. I wouldn't be one of the few. I'm probably one of the many. You know, if we've already decided that few will be saved, we could become self-righteous in that. Have that attitude like the Pharisee in the parable in Luke 19. We want to thank God all the time. I'm not like those other men because I'm one of the few. God, I'm not like them. If we're truly persuaded that only few will be saved, we might be defeatist. We might be very fearful about this charge and this commission to take the word to others, because hard as we might try, they probably don't want to have any part of it. And they're probably not going to make it. Few will be there. Will many be saved? I think this is a big question. It's one of context and one of perspective. Few will be saved. That's not all that the Bible says. So for a few moments tonight, let me show you some scriptures to consider. Will many be saved? It's a big question. It's a big question because how you answer impacts your attitude. It impacts your well-being. It impacts your usefulness in the kingdom of God. Will many be saved? As we begin to look at this question tonight, the first thing I want to point out is this. You and I, we need to remember, many will be saved. Many will be saved. I said a moment ago, it's a big question that deals with context and it deals with perspective. So let's tackle the context aspect first. Will many or few be saved? Compared to what? Will many be saved? You know, in what respect? I just showed you the words of Jesus a moment ago in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And that said, a minority of people will be saved. If you're going to contrast it with all of mankind, when we compare all people in all time on the day, great day of judgment, as we will see that a minority will be faithful. A minority will enter in the narrow way. A minority will be saved. But I'm going to tell you, that's true in every age. It's the story that the Bible tells again and again about the faithfulness of a minority. We spent some time this morning talking about Noah and his family. We talked about the five life lessons from the dad who built the ark. And we learn from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 that few, in fact only 8 souls, were saved in the great flood. I think you'd agree that against the world's population, that is a minority, right? The minority were faithful. When you go a little further on in the Old Testament, as the story unfolds, only 2 out of the Exodus generation enter into Canaan land. Probably what? 1 million people get to go through the parted Red Sea and on their way to inherit God's promise of Canaan land. But what happens? The faithlessness of a generation. So that only 2, Joshua and Caleb, actually get to cross the Jordan River and go in. What happened to all the rest of those Israelites? They died in the wilderness. It was a minority that were faithful. I think about Elijah in the days of the kings. And when he had to face King Ahab and wicked Queen Jezebel. And we come to a place in 1 Kings chapter 19 where Elijah is so discouraged. Out in a cave. Jezebel's got everyone out looking for him. They want to kill him. He has a conversation with God and he believes he's the only one. I'm the only one who's faithful. All the prophets have been persecuted and killed. Everybody else has split. They've all fled. They've all failed. And how does God console Elijah? Well, he reminds him, first, you're not alone. There's 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Okay? So that makes you feel good when you think there's one, and actually there's 7,001. But think about this. What's 7,000 in relation to the population of Israel and that kingdom? I'm going to tell you, it's still a minority that's faithful. A faithful minority. Even of those Jews who entered Babylonian captivity, it's prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 10 verses 20 through 22 that only a remnant of those would return to rebuild Jerusalem, would return to reestablish their nation. It would be a minority of the people taken away for that 70-year captivity who would be faithful and who would come home. A little closer in age to us and under our own covenant, the gospel covenant. You look in the book of Revelation and we see that it is a minority of the 7 churches of Asia that are faithful to God. And what is, what, a second generation, a third generation of Christians in all time? And as the letters are written to the 7 churches of Asia, you have a letter written to Sardis. And here's a church where a minority is called out. There's but a few within that church who had not soiled their garments with sin. And then you look at the churches as a group. It's a minority again. You have Smyrna. You have Philadelphia who are lifted up and they are commended for being faithful to God. Maybe it raises a question that we ought to ask ourselves. As the Lord looks down on Livingston Church, is it the majority or is it the minority who are faithful? And we wonder who will be saved and will many be saved? And I go through all that to say this, that we see sadly a majority of people will be lost. Always it is a minority that are faithful, a few will be saved. That's kind of the context, I guess, look at this question. But now here's the perspective aspect of the question. I want you to appreciate this with me tonight, that those few still constitute a great many. I don't want you to ever think that heaven is a lonely place. I don't want you to ever think that heaven is sparsely populated. There will be many souls there. As Reese read for us in our scripture reading tonight from Matthew chapter 8 and verses 10 and 11, the backdrop of this scripture is Jesus has gone and healed a centurion. The Roman general's servant, at the request of this general, who recognized Jesus was a man of great authority, if he would but speak the word, it would happen, it would be so. And so Jesus marvels at the man's faith because he understands the nature of authority and that Christ has it. He says these words, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." In fact, he goes on to say, "But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." See, the Jews had the idea that there would be very few that would be saved, very few that would come into the kingdom of Messiah. And it was only going to be them. But no, oh no, many are going to be there. And where do they come from? From all over the world. Jesus said many will be there. in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, the Holy Spirit through Paul's pen. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. That there are many who have followed the way of the sin of Adam. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's the consequences that come with sin. The wages of sin is death, but it is the gift of God that is life everlasting in Jesus Christ our Lord. And just as many who have sinned have the opportunity to be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says that as many will be made righteous through Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Oh, God has many sons coming to glory through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ. In Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. We get some insight into the gospel preaching at Corinth and starting a church at Corinth. And while persecution is stirred up against Paul, and apparently he is fearful about it, but the Lord comes to him in a vision. Acts 18 verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Many people in a huge city. Corinth was on par with a New York. It's a major, major city in the empire of that time. And Jesus said, Paul, you're in the right place. Not going to be harmed. Many, many people are going to respond. I love the picture of glory in Revelation 7 and verse 9. What did John see? After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. How many are the redeemed surrounding God in glory in heaven? You can't count it. Will many be saved? Abraham's descendants were said to number as the sands of the seashore. Genesis 22 verse 17, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand of which is on the seashore. And do we know, do we understand, Christians, that we are the descendants of Abraham by faith? According to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 7, we are his children by faith. We're part of this number that cannot be numbered. I share all that with you to ask the question, what will our perspective be? What will our mindset be? What will our attitude be when we think about sharing the gospel with another? Should we be those focused on, you know what? Few will be saved. Or will we say, many will be saved? Many will be saved. And I say we must remember it's the many that will be saved. And if we're going to be serious about sharing the good news and reaching neighbors, reaching our communities with the gospel, we must always remember many will be saved. And in that knowledge and in that remembrance, so develop a many will be saved mindset. That's number two. If I get on board with the truth that many will be saved, it's going to do some tremendous things for me. And in my service to be about the Great Commission. And in my service about being a disciple-making disciple. Develop a many will be saved mindset. It is a mindset that encourages confidence. A many will be saved mindset helps us see that we truly are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can feel conquered when all we ever reflect upon is, you know what, it's few. It's few. I don't know if it's me. It's few. No, many will be saved. More than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul could say that he's not ashamed of the gospel because this powerful gospel saves. And it's the Jew first and then the Greek It's all people. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of this gospel that allows us to overcome any spirit of fear or timidity. But I'll tell you, if we only focus on the few, if we keep the few will be saved mindset, we're going to be saying things like, well, what's the use? What's the use in trying to reach people anyway? Only few are interested. We might begin to feel a little bit ashamed of the gospel because it makes us so weird. We might even begin to think, well, I probably am the only one, like an Elijah. And he was mistaken, and this would be a mistaken attitude. We might be afraid to share our faith. Nothing good can come from this because only few will be saved. It's a mindset that's defeatist, and it leads to discouragement. No, we need confidence. A confidence that says, I know that what I have to show someone in the Bible will only help them. It will not hurt them. It is what they need. The gospel found in the New Testament, this is what people want. They may not know it comes in this package. They may not understand that this is where it's found. But you know what? They want hope, and they want love, and they want forgiveness, and they want direction in life. And how do you know they want that? Who doesn't want that? There's only one place it's found. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have every confidence. This is the message everybody wants and everybody needs. And many will be saved. Who doesn't want to go to heaven when they die? Many will be saved. We need the confidence. It is a mindset. A many will be saved attitude. Excuse me, mindset that will encourage endurance. And brethren, that's what we need. We need to endure. I don't know how much longer the Lord will tarry his return, but I know what we're supposed to be doing until he comes. And we need endurance. I need to remind you that many will be saved to spur you on to diligence, to give you hope, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help you see that if you devote yourself to learning God's will and doing God's will, you just need to stick with it. That we will be rewarded. If we do not lose heart, we need endurance. It is endurance that we're taught again and again. When we are told to hold fast. When we are told to hold fast to our confidence in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. When we are taught to hold fast to our confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is Lord. And do you appreciate that if you really believe that here is this eternal king over your life, it's going to change the way you live because you're obeying a king. You're following a king. Hold fast to your hope, a confident expectation in the Lord's return, a confident expectation from reward from God because we live in faith. And only by faith do we please him. We are taught to hold fast to the pattern of sound words, sound doctrine. It's the truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ that we are commissioned to share with our friends, with our neighbors, with the lost, with our communities. It doesn't need to be updated. It doesn't need to be changed. We don't need gospel 3.0. You hold fast to the pattern of sound words. This truth given by the Holy Spirit through the apostles preserved in the New Testament. It saves. Hold fast to it. We're taught to hold fast to what is good. And I'll tell you, the gospel is good. Fellowship in the local church of Christ is good. The promises in store for those who walk with the Lord, they are good. And a life led by the Word of God is good. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to it. See, a many will be saved mindset encourages us. Well, we do need to endure. We do need to hold fast. Let's be assured of what we believe. Serve the Lord faithfully. Go to heaven. And I know that doesn't mean that we're all walking around living in sinless perfection. But we certainly do trust the Word of God that when we fall short in sin, here is the promise that he would forgive us of our sins in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. That he will forgive us of our sins and we might walk in the light with him. It is a mindset that encourages us to endure, to hold fast, because we believe we are among the many who are saved. Endure. If we keep a few will be saved mindset, it says, you know what, just let loose of it a little bit. It's not that big of a deal. It's not a big deal to anybody else. Stop trying. You don't have it all together. That little seed of doubt planting in our minds. Few will be saved. Few will be. In fact, it's not even me. I bet my life isn't even together as all the people in the church. I don't even fit together in here in this church because I look at them and they got it all figured out and I'm just a mess. And we'll let loose. We won't endure. The few will be saved. The attitude feeds doubts, questions the victory of our Lord. And our Lord is victorious. We need not question it. Endure. Finally, tonight, a many will be saved mindset encourages us in this work of evangelism. I think this is the perspective we need. I think this is what we need to keep in mind. Well, isn't it an evil world? It is an evil world. Aren't some people's hearts cold toward the Word of God? Some people's hearts are. We're about a fantastic work. I think of it like mining for gold. And when you're looking for gold, you don't complain about all the dirt. Of course, there's going to be dirt and there's going to be digging. But what are you about? You're about the gold. It's the perspective. What are we about? We're about the many who will be saved. Bringing the gospel of Christ to them. Think about one of these kind of fleshed out ideas where you see the right attitude and the right perspective about all this in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, as Jesus has made his way through Samaria, he stops outside of this village called Sychar. He speaks to a woman at a well. He asks her for water. We've talked about this account a bit in these disciple making disciple lessons. Here's what I want to emphasize this time. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, when his disciples are coming back from that village and they've bought some bread for Jesus, and apparently they passed a very excited woman running back to town, Jesus says to them this, John 4 verse 35, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Open your eyes. The harvest is ready." And how does this account draw to conclusion? She goes into town and she starts bringing people out. She knows people want to meet Jesus. John 4 verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word." Many more believed because of his own word. "And then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" I look at this and I think that it was a real teachable moment here for the disciples, and it's a lesson we need to learn also. The disciples probably had a little bit of a few will be saved mindset on the occasion. Why? Well, because they were in that same village with all the people. They didn't bring a single person out to meet Jesus. They were thinking about their own little group and what did their own little group need. Their own little group needed some bread, and that's what they were about. But this woman, when she meets Jesus, she thinks about all these people back in her town. They're going to want to know him too. I'm going to bring them with me. And she was right. Many want this. Many want to know. And it wasn't all about her character or her word. That spurred it on. But when they got to spend time with Jesus, when they got to hear his own word, his word, they believed. He's the Christ, the Savior of the world. And it is the same word that we preach and share with our neighbors and bring to our communities. And they will believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Savior of the world. If we stay in this, a few will be saved mindset, it just stifles evangelism. It only continues things like, it's only our little group. It's only our little group that will ever be saved. So why reach out to anybody else? Why reach out to anybody different? And there's just a whole lot of different people around here. So, well, Robert, you're kind of different. There's people different color. There's people different education, background. There's people of different socioeconomic status. There's all kind of different culture, different languages, all kind of different. And so why would we bother telling another? They won't care. They won't follow. They're not like me. It's just for me. No, many will be saved. We just got to open our eyes and see. Open our mouth and speak. Many will be saved. That few will be saved mindset saves no one. Only when we adopt a many will be saved outlook, only when we develop that, will we go back home to our neighbors and speak of Jesus. Just like this lady at the well. I believe many will be saved. I'm going to ask you tonight, will many be saved? Yes. Yes, it will be many. Can you be the positive influence? Can you speak the word to lead another to Christ? And I'm going to answer that one, yes. Yes, you can. We keep a good attitude and a good perspective, remembering that many will be saved. And you may be here tonight wondering, well, can I be part of that number? Can I be one of this host of heaven to be with him forever? In white robes, sins forgiven, can that be me? And the answer is yes. Yes, the gospel is inviting you tonight to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. To confess your faith that he is the Son of God. To repent and turn from sin in your life. To put him on in baptism. Immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins. I believe many people want to know that. I believe many people want to do that. Because I believe it will be many who will be saved. Can we help you tonight? Brother Chris is coming forward right now and he's going to lead us in a song. And if you would be saved by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, come forward and make that desire known now. Come forward now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you?
Have decided to follow Jesus.